Hey guys, and welcome to the Pixels podcast, the only podcast where our immune systems are as weak as Fallout 76 sales. I'm Sophia Wood, and with me is Chris Travis.
Sophia, you sounded like you were so full of energy there. I'm so happy you did the intro.
I did it for you.
You know what? And I appreciate it. How are you doing, Sophia?
I'm good. How are you doing?
All right. I'm just getting over the flu, which is great. Thankfully, it wasn't as bad as I thought, because I thought I had a cold for 6 days.
As opposed to the flu for 6 days?
Yeah, I just thought, whenever you get the flu, you get, like, those body aches, you get, like, a high temperature.
Oh, yeah. So
like, you feel like you're
bad.
Dying. Yeah.
That's good. Gotta get your flu shot.
The only thing I'm upset about is I was supposed to go away for my friend's birthday this weekend, and then I found out I had the flu, and I was like, yeah, I'm not going to share a hotel with my friends for a weekend if I'm dying.
Yeah, you got to save them from that.
Yeah, but besides that, I am doing just dandy, and I should be good to go to work tomorrow. So what are things going on with you?
Still on break, still playing video games. Not much else has changed.
I'm jealous. I wish I could be playing as much video games. But I did go back to Mario Odyssey, which we could talk about later. But I forgot how good that game was. Just so good.
I've never played it.
You're going to have to borrow it when you come back home and play
Sounds
it on Priya. Actually, I have two Switches. You could just borrow a Switch.
Priya has already said that she's going to give me her Switch, so she like never uses it. So I'm going to get a free Switch. I know.
Dang. Priya's so,
the best
so cool. For people listening, Priya is, yes, her sister. But anyway, it hasn't been that crazy of a news week, right?
No, I don't think anything's really happened. I've got a few stories about bugs, but that's it.
Yeah, and then in the last episode, we talked about a whole bunch of delays and stuff like that. So I think all I really have are like little slice of life things, nothing too crazy. But how about we go into the news and we'll have you start us off today.
Sounds good. Okay, Chris.
Perfect.
You ever watched One Punch Man?
Is it the same as Two Punch Man?
No.
Never mind, no.
Okay, so it's an anime about a world filled with heroes and villains, and there's this one hero who can knock out every villain with just one punch. So the series is about him searching for a villain who he can't beat because he's bored.
Wow, and that's pretty great.
It's a good anime. Like, I recommend it. It's a good anime. But how it connects to video games is that they're now making a video game for it that's going to come out. So
really?
This is from Steam.
How do you make a video game out of that?
Well, that's the question. So the first One Punch Man game, and it's important that they say the first, I think they're probably going to make more, but the first One Punch Man game finally makes its debut. Dive into a dynamic fighting game experience with beloved characters from the first season of One Punch Man. Play as your favorite hero or become one. You are the hero. So then, from a little bit of digging, the game will feature first three battles where players team up with the characters from the show. I think it's important they said season one, though. I'm assuming the next game is going to be about season two, because there is a season two and the manga keeps going from there. The game will feature character creation, so you can make your own hero, which I thought was cool. Usually they don't do that for these types of games. And in the game, you'll train, complete missions, and then battle your way up the Hero Association ranks, which is kind of like how, the Justice League in their world, where heroes join and work together.
Yeah.
I did have questions about how overpowered the main character would be, because obviously in the show, it's about him being unbeatable. So in the game, apparently he's also unbeatable, but players can't play him. During every fight, similar to the show, he's late, so the objective is to survive without him until he shows up. So in the game, you're fighting and there's a little video in the corner of him running and it shows the mile countdown for when he'll arrive.
Wait,
so you're
that's
not
really
actually,
funny.
Yeah, it is really, I think it's going to be really good. You're not actually trying to beat the villains, you're just waiting for him to show up, you have to survive.
And then punch him.
And then just punch once and then they're done. So the beta version will come out in November. So keep an eye out for that. It's only on PlayStation and Xbox, though, which is weird. I thought they would also include PC, but it will be out in PC. It's just they don't have an early version for it.
That's so interesting.
Yeah, and it is. The price is expensive, though. It's currently £40 in the UK and around $60 in the US.
So it's got to be like a good.
It's got to be good. Value. I mean, that's what you'd expect for like a proper game, like Outer Worlds.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. For sure. Like,
especially for an anime game.
Well, you know, like there are. Do you know who the developer is for it?
Not off the top of my head, unfortunately.
I'm going to look it up.
Do it.
What is it? One Punch.
One Punch Man.
Oh, my. There we go. Sorry. My thing freaked out. One Punch Man game developer. Let's see who's going to be making it. And I feel like I know who's going to be making it, but let's see. One Punch Man, a hero nobody knows video game.
That's it.
Developers. Oh, I actually don't know this developer. It is a Spike Crunchsoft. Spike Crunchsoft. I've never heard of that before.
No, I haven't either.
But the publisher is going to be Bandai Namco, which actually I'm pretty sure they have published like Dragon Ball Z games and Naruto games. So it might be good, maybe?
I think it's going to be good, and I think there's definitely an audience for it, and people will buy it. It's too expensive for me personally, and I know it's going to be too expensive for a lot of people. It might be one that you're just going to have to wait for it to be on sale.
Yeah, we'll see. Well, you gotta, like, as we know, everyone does reviews of it, so you're going to have to do like the educated decision and figure out if you're going to purchase it or not.
It's definitely a game, I think, you know, to look out for.
I have one question.
Go ahead.
And it's about the anime.
Okay.
How long are these fight scenes then whenever he meets someone?
It's it depends on...
Because I don't know if you... I don't think you watched Naruto, but like Naruto, a whole fight could take 3 episodes.
No, they never do that. It's usually... a villain every 1 episode or maybe every 2 episodes, or if they do longer ones, it's about him not being able to get to the fight, so then the other characters, it's similar to the show, like the other characters will fight and be beaten as he's running to join them.
That is interesting. I never
give it a try. It's on Hulu.
Is it subbed or dubbed?
Don't know. I'm gonna check.
I don't know. I'm a guy that likes and it's gonna be contrary to most people. I like dubbed. I mean, subbed.
I think most people like dubbed.
No, dubbed.
You like dubbed?
Yes, I like dubbed.
That's so controversial.
Yes. Here's the thing, though. I'm a boy who has super bad ADHD, and I like to do many things while I do other things. So if I can hear the audio and not have to read it while I'm like folding laundry or, you know, playing a video game on the Switch in my hands, like, I like that type of stuff.
I do know what you mean, and that does stop me from finishing a lot of anime, but just some of the voice acting is so terrible.
I don't know. I think the voice actors for Naruto were pretty good. I didn't like Sakura for Naruto, but other than that, that was like my one gripe with all the voice acting in that show. So if I'd rather trade that than and be able to do things while watching the show than read the whole anime.
All right. Well, you want to move on?
Yeah. So as we said, we really don't have anything too crazy. I posted a link. I don't know if you're even looking at it. I wanted you to like just take a look at it. But basically, there is this 41-minute speed run that IGN posted with commentary by the creators of.
If I open this, is it going to start blaring out?
I just clicked the link and it was on mute. So okay. Once it started, But it's this whole speed run of Crash Bandicoot. the Insane trilogy, and the developers react to it for 41 minutes, and they are like floored that people can do what they do in this game, because they're literally like, yep. Like at one point, one of the developers were like, yeah, that's exactly how we designed that game. Like he's like, obviously we did not think of that, but like, cool, you know, like they just don't understand how people are taking advantage of the physics of this game, which I think is pretty awesome.
I'm watching it now.
Yeah, like, wow. You can skip around. Like, they're just like,
I'm just watching this, like, I could not.
And even the comments are kind of funny. Someone says, I've never wanted to watch a speedrun before, but this was cool. Would watch more of those. And then, the fuck is Crash 4 at, though? Which is same, because, like, I really want another Crash. This is the kind of awkward with no game. This is kind of awkward with no game audio. That's funny, because I'm currently looking at it with no game audio. But yeah, people seem to be into this type of stuff. I don't like speedruns, but this got me like interested. Like, I watched it. I didn't watch the full thing, but I watched like a full 15-20 minutes of it. And
just imagine the pressure.
Oh my god, yeah, I can't. I wouldn't be able to.
The guy's just jumping. He's not even playing.
Yeah, he doesn't hit the ground. I mean, he doesn't stay on the ground longer than he needs to. It's weird. I like it though. But anyway, IGN recorded all this audio. In your free time, I do suggest looking at the audio, because the reactions that the developers have just is so funny. They just don't know what to do with themselves.
I feel like it's so funny they didn't even think of this.
Yeah, yeah. Well, if you think about it, can you imagine breaking...
I'm just watching this like, oh, what?
No, you're fine. But can you imagine, like, playing, like creating this, what you think is a masterpiece, and then someone breaks your game and it's like, haha, this is meant for like hours of entertainment and I beat it in 41 minutes, and you're just like, well, that's cool.
How much practice do you think this guy's put into this game?
I don't know. And you know, you never know if this like all started with the first game. Like, you don't know if he ever tried to speedrun the first game and then just like switched his techniques a little bit for the remake. Or if like this was something he had to start with from square one once the game came out. Like,
I mean, this looks like he's practiced a lot.
Yeah, like I can't go through everything.
Is
some of these levels I can't go through without dying at least 5 times.
Oh yeah.
By the way, for anybody who likes to like play video games with friends, this is the best game to play with friends. Like, it's a one player game, but it's like so nice to play. Like, having, like, at least for adults, having a couple drinks, taking turns playing Crash Bandicoot, like, and it's one of those games you don't really have to focus on a story. It's just you guys messing around. I highly suggest it for
anybody. It is one of those rare, like, video games that I like that doesn't have a story.
Yeah, it's mindless, and the mechanics are interesting enough to keep you engaged. I really do enjoy it.
All right.
But yeah, anyway, if people continue speedrunning games I like, I am fully encourage it. But yeah, I'm going to pass it back over to you, Sophia.
Okay, so you made fun of me for this. Yes. So Nintendo are releasing new Animal Crossing Switch controllers, but the Animal Crossing part of these controllers is not what I'm going to focus on. These controllers look just like Xbox controllers.
Yeah.
Like, we've come full circle. They are literally Xbox controllers. There's just 4 buttons in the middle instead of 3, and that's the only difference. They're literally Xbox controllers. Switch have stolen. And I know this happened ages ago, but I've just found out about it. So we're going to talk about it now. How did they get away with just copying a controller?
I mean, there's only so many ways to make a controller.
But it's literally an Xbox controller.
Well, the Google Stadia controller is literally a PlayStation controller.
Now you tell me this.
I've showed you it.
Well, I don't play PlayStation. I play Xbox. This is literally an Xbox controller.
Yes, it is. And we are fine with it. The community is fine with it. You are the only one who has a problem with it.
I didn't know you could just steal controllers. Why doesn't everyone just steal a controller?
In my hand right now. I will say this is a... it might be a Power A or a Hori controller that you're looking at. Those are shaped more like an Xbox controller. The classic Switch Pro controller is more boxy in the sense that, like, you look at it and compare it in size, and the Xbox controller looks more sleek. So, like, the Nintendo does try to make it look a little different, but Hori or Power A, whoever develops this controller, is kind of just like, no, we're going to do it this way. And then they shaped it like an Xbox controller.
I mean, I do like it because I hate the Switch controllers. So I would be more likely to play with a controller like this. I just had no idea people were just stealing controllers.
Yeah, no, it's been a thing for a while. That being said, I've had this brand of controller and I've actually returned this controller.
You didn't like it?
It's not that I didn't like it. Here's the thing. When you purchase a $50, $60 controller, you expect it to be like fairly solid. And when I started playing with it, it was very, it felt very lightweight. The controllers were, the buttons were pretty stiff when clicking on them, even though the Nintendo Pro Controller is already stiff. It just, there was something I didn't like about it. And I was like, ooh, I think I'd rather pay the extra $15-$20 for the Pro Controller if I'm going to be spending this much money already, you know? I think if it was lower than $50, then I'd be like, all right, I paid $40 for this. Like, it's almost half the price of the Pro Controller. I'll keep it. But the fact that I was only like $15-$20 away from getting a Pro Controller that I would have liked, I returned it and just got the regular Pro Controller.
Do you think they'll ever let you use a foreign controller like Xbox or PlayStation with the Switch?
Never. I doubt it. I don't have any expectation for that. I will, however, say that I feel like we're going to get more Xbox games on the Switch.
I'd hope so.
Yeah, like Super Lucky's Tale should have been made for the Switch, like the new one. I heard the original wasn't that good, and then new Super Lucky's Tale came out, and then people were like, wow, this is a different game.
I'm surprised they haven't done almost every new game.
No,
also on the Switch.
Like, you mean new game coming out, or just an alternative
version? Yeah, like, I feel like it should be standard now that every game that comes out should kind of have a Switch version.
Well, that's like saying Sony would, like, once they released Death Stranding, they also had a Switch version.
Yeah, they should.
Yeah, but those are exclusives. That's how they get you to buy the consoles.
Well, that's stupid.
I agree with you, but that's called marketing.
It's called capitalism.
Capitalism. There's a lot of reasons behind it. But yeah, so basically, controller is all right, but for the money you're paying, you might as well spend that little extra money to get the original Pro Controller. That being said, for a lot of Animal Crossing fans,
they're gonna be buying this because it's cute as hell. Okay.
Here's the thing. Heck? that group of people tend to be casual gamers, because it's such
true.
A simple game.
I don't know, but I feel like there's a lot of diehard Animal Crossing fans.
There are, but I know more people who don't play games that love Animal Crossing than people who love playing games that are just like, oh my god, I'm so excited for Animal Crossing, right? Like, I'll pick it up because I'm like to game and I'm like, oh, this interests me. Like, the theming they're doing is a little different. But like, I don't know people who are gamers that are obsessed with Animal Crossing, you know? It's usually the people who don't game that love the franchise. And I have a friend who literally asked to be on an episode of the podcast when we talk about it. Like, she's like, I love this game. And I was like, but you don't play any video games. She goes, but I love this game. I was like, okay. But anyway. My thought process is people who love Animal Crossing are probably going to be buying this game a game system the day it comes out, you know, like don't have a Switch and they're going to be like, oh, Animal Crossing is out on the Switch now and I want to play that instead of the one on my 3DS. So I'm going to pick up a Switch Lite or a Nintendo Switch and I'll get this extra controller while I'm at it. Like, I think it's gonna be open wallet syndrome situation where they're just like, I'm already spending all this money on the game and the game system, I might as well get the controller, you know?
Yeah. Well, but I just don't think controllers with stuff like this, they don't sell well anyway. Like, I don't really know that many people who have customized controllers like this.
Well, they do have a line of these controllers, exact model, just covered in Pokemon.
No, not the
stuff.
Model. Like, I just don't know people who have customized controllers like that. Most people just get the regular ones.
What I'm saying is they have like the Pokemon ones that sell very well.
Yeah.
Well, they're covered.
I can see Pokemon because that is, but everything else.
Yeah. No, I think that they're just taking advantage of the people that will be buying game systems and stuff, and they're going to be like, "Oh, I'm already spending money on this stuff. I might as well get the controller." Like, I don't think they're going to necessarily buy systems just for this game, but it's going to be like, oh, the system seemed pretty cool, and then the reason for them to actually take the jump is because Animal Crossing is going to be there.
Yeah.
You know? So, like, they'll want to spend the money on the extra controller because they're like, all right, well, I'm already buying this game system. If I have any two-player games, I'm going to need an extra controller.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. But, yeah, no, I will say, all the patterns and designs and stuff on these controllers are always so cute and so good. I felt bad returning. Like, I returned a Legend of Zelda one, and then I went back to the store a couple weeks later to get the initial Pro controller because I just decided to cave in and get it. But then I saw the same model with the Pokemon designs, and I like literally almost had to kill myself because I was like, I need both controllers. This pattern is so cute.
You're such a sucker.
I am a sucker, but I did not get both controllers. I just got the plain
I'm
black
so
Pro
proud
controller.
Of you.
And but I still think about that controller pattern for the Pokemon all the time. But yeah. Where's my mouse? I think my mouse is like dying on me. I think I need a new battery soon because your boy keeps losing it. Okay. So shan't I go on with another interesting story?
Please.
Okay. So this one's very cute. I like it a lot. And it's basically, the headline is another IGN story. This is written by Joseph Nope, like Leslie Nope from Parks and Rec. And basically it says, Fortnite Pro pays off mom's student loans during stream. Now, this is the cutest thing I've heard in a while. The mother of a pro Fortnite streamer received a late Christmas present recently in a touching moment of charity and familial. Sophia, help me.
I don't know. I can't see it. I don't know what you're trying to say.
F-A-M-I-L-I-A-L.
Just skip the word. Skip the word.
Familial love. I'm going to say it like that in the video
game. That's not
how
you say it.
I've never apparently you don't know what I'm trying to say, so how do you know?
I don't understand. Just keep going.
Okay.
You're just saying it so badly. It's foreign word.
You're a foreign word. Anyway.
Whoa.
Aiden Conrad, who sports a follower count of 1.4 million people on Twitch, called his mother during a recent stream to inform her that he had paid off her student loans using the profit from his own streaming career. Before he revealed the deed, Conrad's mother replied in typical motherly fashion, saying she didn't need anything. And she said, and this is a quote, "I don't need anything, Aiden. You've done enough for me." Conrad's mother says, and then he says, "Well, it's too late, Mom," Conrad replied. "All your student loans are already paid for." Conrad's mother seems to pause before responding, "No, they're not. You can't. You can't. It's not a federal loan. I don't think you could touch that." Blah blah blah. Conrad responds that he's already talked to someone named Lena, who presumably was able to make the payment.
How
happen.
Old is this kid?
I have no clue.
Because I've got no idea how to do this. I'm 22.
It's
like, Mom,
no...
I want to pay a student loan.
But I will say, it says at the end, according to the loadout, Conrad's Fortnite career has net him about $160,000 in prize numbers. Numbers aren't available for how much Conrad earns from his streaming, but with 1.4 million followers, it can't be chump change either.
Aww,
now, do you
so
see why
cute,
I want to get
though.
Into streaming now, Sophia? I want to do fun things like that.
Well, get a million people, and maybe you can.
Well,
if you
wouldn't
pay off my student loans, I won't argue with you.
Yeah, tell me, I want to be one of those YouTubers where they like buy iPhones and then like give them away. Like, that'd be fun.
That would be fun. If only we were rich, we'd be great rich people.
Yeah, we'd be pretty great. Anyway, I thought that was very cute. Let's see. I really want to know more about this Aiden Conrad boy. So I'm going to put his name in Goggle and see if it's, if he is a young or an old child.
I bet he's like 15. That's my guess.
15, you're guessing?
It's usually Fortnite. That's pretty young. But he must be pretty old if he can like figure that out.
Yeah, but you also have to remember Ninja was a Fortnite player.
How old's he?
He's older than I am. Age. Okay, so.
Yeah, but that's
he
not.
He is
you're only
19 that's... years old.
19.
Aw, he's so cute.
Cute? He's 19.
No, like, he's like, I don't know, he looks like your typical gamer, like, you wouldn't expect anything like that.
Looks pretty young for his age.
Yeah.
That's so nice of him.
Good for him. I'm very proud of him. Anyway, Sophia, I'm gonna toss it back over to you. That was a nice slice of life story.
That was really nice.
Your turn.
So... I'm going to say something we've never said on this podcast before.
I'm scared.
Let's talk about Call of Duty.
I'm going to ask you to leave this podcast.
No, it's okay. You're going
to
like this.
Guys, go to callofdutypodcast.com. It will bring you to the Video Game Outsiders website, and then you can listen to them talk about Call of Duty.
Don't stay here.
Don't stay here. We know nothing about the subject.
In Call of Duty Modern Warfare, after the recent update, players are getting an error message that says, "Error, your data is corrupt and didn't download properly. You must reset your ranks and unlock to continue." So pretty much these people are going on having to reset everything. Like, could you imagine how mad you'd be if you had to reset all of your achievements and ranks and everything?
That would make me laugh so much. You know when, like, you don't believe anything at, like, what's happening, and you just look at something and you're just like,
this isn't
that's
real.
My life. Yeah, like, that's not real. I can't. That's like me when my Pokemon game card was corrupt and I put it in and all my legendary Pokemon were in it. And it's like, aha,
no.
Your game is corrupt. You must start all over again.
Oh, did that happen?
Yes, it happened, and then I had to restart every single Pokemon game I had before that, because all my legendary Pokemon were from previous games.
Oh,
yeah.
That's awful.
I was very upset. I was, like, very young, too. I was, like, 14 years old, and I was trying to call Nintendo tech support, being like, how do I get my Pokemon back? And they're like, there's nothing we could do.
Oh.
Yeah, it sucks.
So if you clicked no to this and just left the game, you're fine. I mean, you couldn't play the game you bought, so, you know, that's a bummer. But
yeah,
I guess at this point it's kind of a good thing. Like, just pick up a new game. Why are you still playing Call of Duty? It's 2020.
There's going to be a new one in like 5 months anyway.
Of course there is. But if you clicked yes, then guess what? All of your stats have been reset. They're still working on a fix. I haven't heard that it's actually been fixed, so I guess that's still an issue where people are just having to reset everything. And there were more issues too, like now being able to access online service. You can't access the online service after updating. You have to re-download the same DLC over and over again. I literally just looked it up on Twitter and there were loads of people being like, this doesn't work and this doesn't work. So this whole update is completely just broken this game.
That's so disappointing.
I know, it's especially, I feel like Call of Duty is one of those games where more casual people are playing it, casual gamers. It's like those people who go back to it, it's like, oh, I played this when I was younger, I'll play this again. So they're just logging in and they're not going to know what to do if it's telling you to like just reset everything. They're going to reset it.
I don't even know what to say about that. That's just like, some people are so diehard for that game that I would feel for them if like I saw one of them just like slightly weep.
I'd just throw the game away.
Yeah, but they're also the people that play like to pretend they're too macho, so probably would just get angry and not cry. But I would
break the game.
Yes.
You just throw it out the window.
Yep. But hopefully they can get back to this soon. There's always some problem with development and updates for every game. Some are very small problems, some are huge. So, you know, I'm sure I forget if Activision developed this one or not, but I'm sure whichever developer, they're going to make good for it, and I'm sure they'll figure out how to get people back their ranks. They can't afford to lose like loyal fans to something like that.
So yeah, that's what happened with Call of Duty. It still hasn't been fixed, so I'd stay off the game for a while.
Dang it. Okay, so I got some information about Dragon Ball Z Kakarot. I know nothing about Dragon Ball Z, so this is going to be very brief. Neither
do I, so this is going to be fun.
Yeah, so apparently IGN gave it a review. It got a 7 out of 10, which isn't too bad. And I'm going to say this because basically whenever you read a review, you want to know what's bad about it first, just so you know if it's something that's like a deal breaker to you. So I'm going to, before I get to the bad stuff, I'm going to leave it off by saying IGN did say this, and I quote, "This is truly the best video game retelling of Dragon Ball Z's story, but it's disappointing that there's so much room for improvement." So it's good. They enjoy it. It's the definitive way to know the story of Dragon Ball Z, but there's some improvement needed. And one of the little things that I found in the article, which actually like hit me in like the heart, because this is like what ruins a game for me personally. The little caption for the header says "sidetracked," and it says, "While Kakarot worked great as an arena fighter, largely by keeping the action pretty similar to previous games, the RPG's RPG side weighs it down. Side quests are almost
that's the bit I like the best.
Painfully plain."
Oh.
Yeah, and then it's like relying far too much on like banal tasks and finding ingredients for a chef to make you a dish and blah blah blah. Like the one thing that kills a game for me is if their side quests are so sucky that like it makes me like, because here's the thing, in most games they have like kind of like a mandatory side quest in the beginning of the game, just so you're aware that there's side quests that you can be doing throughout. Mm-hmm. And like I could get to that first side quest and it could be so sucky that I don't want to play the game anymore. Like that's how bad it can get.
I think side quests help develop the world too. So if the side quests aren't strong, that means the world itself isn't strong, the world that you're playing in.
Well, no, that's not true, because like someone could just be bad at translating like what they want into a side quest. It just depends. You know?
Yeah, I get what you mean. I just think, because I think that's, I guess I said it wrong. Side quests are a way to show off the world. So if you're doing it wrong, you're not showing off your world and like in a good way.
Yeah.
You haven't, and it's not as fun to play in it.
I agree. I agree very much so.
Okay.
But yeah.
Still, I do agree.
Your turn.
Okay. So, Chris, you want to take a guess about how Fallout 76 is going?
It's going amazingly. What are you talking about?
One day we're going to say that, and then the podcast world is going to explode.
Yes, exactly.
So, this is all from Cass Marshall and Owens Good from Polygon. Over Christmas, Fallout 76 had a bug where hackers were able to open up the inventory of other players and help themselves to everything, kind of like if it was a loot chest. And this was so common, people were making videos of doing it, like YouTube videos, to be like, hey, I found this hack, let's see what happens, let's play around with it. Like, it was just completely crazy how many people were robbed in a video game. Oh, and God. According to Polygon, Fallout 76 has had a very unstable December, even by the game's usual standards. Earlier this month, players uncovered an exploit that allowed them to spawn NPCs and assets within the world. Players reported seeing that Priden, the Fallout 4 Brotherhood of Steel Zeppelin, spawned into their world. So it's just a huge mess, practically unplayable.
This does not surprise me.
No, it's not surprising. Why am I talking about it now, though? Well, Luckily for the players, more than 500 PC players robbed not only have their inventories resold, but they've been given the game's premium currency as a make good. So they were given atoms, and in some cases, double of what they had in their items, because the company used a cloned version of the players from earlier. So if something like if you still had your scrap, you were still given it back, so then you've doubled the scrap you had. So that's good. And I think we're kind of seeing Bethesda learning from this, where they've done a really good job fixing everything. This could have been a nightmare for them. This could have driven even more people away. But from what I've read, most people seem pretty happy because now they've got a lot more stuff than they originally had. There is catch, though.
There always is.
Just before you say anything, what you got depended on your subscription. So those who were subscribers got 5 months worth of atoms, and those who weren't got 3 months plus then another 3 months of Fallout First access.
Oh my god, they gave away Fallout First access.
It's crazy that they're still separating their players depending on when the people who were playing it bought it in the beginning. It's not like they're playing for free. It's just they need to give up with this Fallout First access.
I think that is so funny. And to be quite honest, we need to retire Fallout 76.
Yep.
We just do. Mm-hmm. Like, at this point,
there are better. Just play Outer Worlds. It's the same thing, also, but better.
I'm kind of at a point where I kind of want to play it, though, now to see why the hell this thing is still a thing.
Like, if I could play it for free, I'd be on it so hard. But
yeah, because I would just take extensive notes and just be like, this is what I've come out of this game thinking, and just be
it's
like,
just it's so much money still.
It really is.
It's not worth it.
Like, even like they have to just make it free to play, and then maybe they'll get more people paying for Fallout First. But
that's exactly what they need to do. They can't ask people to pay twice.
Yeah, no. I'm not a fan. Well, maybe one day it'll be free. I mean, you can like play it online and see how it works for us.
Maybe one day.
Yeah. And then we'll see how terrible it is. PC. I really want to build a PC, but I don't have the ability to because I suck at understanding what I need.
Good luck with that.
Yes, someone sponsor me and help me build a PC. Anyway, I think, did you have anything else to add to that, or is that it?
Nope, that was it. Just Fallout 76 is still a mess.
Okay. So, here's the deal. There's a new game. And again, I forgot to mention this beginning. Obviously, I'm sick, so I'm sounding congested. I do apologize. Anyway, new game. You're going to like it. I'm going to like it. We're all going to like it. It's Deer Simulator. And I watched the trailer, and it's the funniest thing ever.
Deer?
Yep. But
it's not Deer God, right? It's deer?
It's... it's deer. D-E-E-R.
Like, not Deer God, the game that is
No,
anything.
No, it's called Deer Simulator.
Okay.
So...
Is it free? Sorry, I'll let you go.
Let me get to what I gotta do.
Get to what you gotta do.
Deer Simulator, your average everyday deer game, is a game about unleashing chaos on the city in the way that only a tall, proud, four-legged creature displaced from its natural habitat can.
Wait, isn't this Untitled Goose Game?
Similarly, it's actually artistically it looks very similar to that.
I'm adding it to
my wish
list.
But it does
now.
Things that gooses can't, like it does things that deers can't do. Like, it really, like, you have its antlers as guns. Like, it's like GTA, but a deer.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So, I was looking at this. The trailer looks hilarious. It's on beta on Steam currently. Or early access on Steam, my fault. And people are loving it. I need to give it a shot, but I don't think... I don't have access to Steam, so, Sophia, you might have to...
I'll
I might have to send you money to get
it.
Yeah. And hopefully it would go to Switch at some point, because that's how Untitled Goose Game started, I think. But this is just so funny, and it literally says, as in Grand Theft Auto, destroying stuff will eventually summon the cops. First as a group of sheep, next as a duo of polar bears, each time getting more difficult in line with the amount of damage you're doing. You can pick up guns which get mounted to the deer's head where the antlers might go, and then shoot stuff behind you as you run away like a my thing just froze. Basically,
this sounds
you run
like a
away.
Really good game.
Yeah, I need to give it a shot. The character model looks hilarious when it bends certain ways. Like, it looks janky on purpose. It's unapologetically janky. And I definitely want to play it at some point.
This is definitely going on my wish list for when I have money.
You're going to have to tell me how it goes.
I will. I'll keep you updated on how the polar bear cops have gone.
Ah, I love that. Anyway, so that's all I've got. Sophia, did you want to say it? We still have time.
No, I think the next bit will actually be better if I wait, so I'll save it for next week.
Okay, so anyway, how about we take a short break, and then when we come back, we'll talk about the games we've been playing.
Sounds good.
All right, guys, we'll see you guys shortly for the games we have been playing. Be right back. Okay, Sophia, you ready to tell me about the games you've been playing?
So, I finally finished Frostpunk. And if you follow me on Twitter, you'll know I've been posting about it nonstop. I absolutely loved it. It was fantastic. You need to play this game.
Is there any console versions?
Yeah, I know it's on Xbox.
Okay. I'll look
into
it.
I think it's one of those games where it's precisely as long as it needs to be, as difficult as it needs to be. It was absolutely fantastic. I might just buy it just so I can buy the other DLC and everything that goes with it, because I had so much fun with this game.
Really? I'm so happy that you enjoyed yourself.
It was fantastic. I definitely recommend it.
I know you explained it on a previous podcast, but can you do a quick summary of what it's about so other people know?
So you have to help this group of people survive after they've left London because it's freezing. So you have to survive. It gets to like a negative 150 degrees and you have to help them survive. And it's just keeping everyone in the city, keeping everyone fed. You have to keep your supplies up, that sort of thing. And it's kind of like this war of mine, except with a whole city of people. And you just make decisions as you go, try and keep them alive. And it is fantastic.
Yes. So it's technically survival, in a sense. Is it like a strategic survival?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So that's pretty cool. I might have to look into it. I personally still haven't touched Fallen Order, so I need to get back to that soon. But I've been playing like little things in between, like my free time. Like I revisited Super Mario Odyssey, and like, of course, that game was a masterpiece when it came out, but like, it's so good, and just the mechanics and how it plays, and it just feels so right. And there was like a point, like, is there statues, like can I spoil something after a game's been out for multiple years?
Yeah, I'm sure that's fine.
Okay. So,
if you don't
want
to be spoiled,
you haven't
stop
played it,
listening now.
Yeah, I was about to say, we only have like, we're only going to be recording for another 5 minutes, so now's your time to jump out. Anyway, so towards the end of the game, when you beat like Bowser and whatnot, you unlock like a new world to go to, and it's called the Dark Side of the Moon, which is really funny because that's like a name of like music and stuff like that. But anyway, and this is basically a part where you battle every single boss consecutively, like a boss battle like thing. You know what I mean? I forget what they actually.
I know what
a
boss battle is. Yes.
No, but like, they have a specific word for when you battle every boss in order with one set of life, but anyway, I got to that point right after I beat Super Mario Odyssey, and I kept losing, and then eventually I just gave up. And I finally picked it back up on my Switch Lite, and I was like, let me just, you know what, this weekend I'm just going to dedicate it to try to beat this, and we'll be good. I beat it last night, very happy. I got my three power moons, or whatever you call them, and now I'm thinking, I had such a good time doing that. Like, you know when you have to keep playing things over and over again, you rage? Like, yeah. I didn't rage here. Like, I got upset, and there were like points in time where I put down like the game, and I would be like, all right, let me just take a break. But I never got angry. Like, I was just like, I just need a break. Like, we're gonna do this. We're fine. Got through it, and it kind of just like re sparked my interest for the game, because
yeah,
there's so much to do. There's so many different worlds, and I found out that there's technically one more like world that you unlock after the dark side of the moon, and it's literally called Darker Side of the Moon. And that one's like not boss battles, it's literally just a very intense and hard world to get like taken care of. So I'm gonna try to grind and get more power moons, or just moons, or whatever you want to call them, and I'm gonna eventually try to unlock that area, because I think I still have like another 200 moons to get before I get there. Like, I'm only have 291 moons, and
nice. It's just,
and I'm not like looking, I'm not like, you know, like when you, there's like a lot of tasks in a game that you have to do and you're like, ugh, I don't want to do this, I just want to get to like the good stuff. Like, I'm not minding it, especially if I'm playing in a handheld mode on the Switch Lite. Like, I'll just boot it up, find a couple moons every once in a while, and then put it back down, you know?
Yeah, sounds like fun. That sounds like a good game you're getting, especially like for stress relieving.
Yeah, it's just going to be very casual, very nice. And other than that, I've been, I haven't finished Resident Evil. I've been playing Pokemon still, been streaming that. I was going to wait until this weekend, but since I was sick, I haven't, but I literally think I have one more streaming session of Pokemon left to beat the main story. So I'm trying to save that for like a weekend event, so the people who are in my Discord, because of the time difference, can pop in. But yeah, no, I'm pretty cool right now. I gotta finish Resident Evil 2. I'm almost done with that, and I'm just playing a lot right now. I'm like trying to get my hands on a lot of things at the same time.
Nice.
Yeah.
I think it's one of those slow weeks for games and news and stuff. I've started Untitled Goose Game, but I'm gonna leave that until next week for when I've done more of it.
Oh yeah, I can't wait. I still have that on the list too, and it's not even I keep spending $60 on these big games when I could be paying like $15, $20 for Untitled Goose Game and have a couple hours.
I will say it's definitely harder than I thought it would be.
Really? People keep saying it's short.
It is short, but it's definitely harder than I didn't realize there's lots of actual quests. I thought you were just doing stuff. So now I'm how do I figure out to take this guy's hat? Like, I just thought it was just messing around.
Oh, no. Yeah. There's definitely things to do. And then I think after you beat the game, there's more things to do. So like, don't worry, there'll be plenty of time just to mess around in between.
I'll try and finish it this week, and then we'll talk about it next week.
Yeah. Sounds awesome. Great. I'm trying to think. I think I have one more thing. Yeah. So other than that stuff, I've also gotten my hands back on Resident Evil 4. Because I actually picked that up before I got Resident Evil 2 and Resident Evil Revelations 2 or 2 Revelations, whatever. And I picked that one up, and that game is so good. So good. I've been playing that one in between because it's also on my Switch. So like, that one's nice for traveling as well. And the mechanics, the story, everything in it just works so well together. And I'm so happy that this game is made and we're getting Resident Evil 3 remake. I can't wait to see if they do a Resident Evil 4 remake, because once we get...
Oh, they're going to have to.
Yeah. Because that one's like one of the most famous Resident Evils. Like, that was like the first action Resident Evil. And then people loved it. And then I think they pushed the envelope too far. And then people were like, yeah, no, we're not really into this anymore. Like, it's a little too actiony. So I'm going to try to keep playing that as well. But, you know, with all these games I've been trying to play, I just, something has to give. I have to pick and choose my battles, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, is there anything else you want to talk about, Sophia? Anything interesting? Anything about life? Any emotional outbursts?
Oh, I think we're good. I'll save all those for next week. How about that?
All right. Sounds awesome. So, thank you guys so much if you've been listening this whole time. We know this has been a little bit of a shorter episode because there hasn't been that much news. But if you're ever interested in hearing what we have, like, our news in the future, make sure to follow us on social media. We have the Pixels Podcast on Instagram, the Pixels Podcast on Twitter. We have a Facebook group that's open to public called the Pixels Podcast. Everything's basically at the Pixels Podcast. And if you have any questions, concerns, comments, suggestions for things for us to do on the podcast, feel free to message us on any of those accounts. We thank you guys so much again for listening, and we hope you have a great day.
Goodbye.
Great, Sophia.
Oh yeah, sorry, I was ending it there. I was too quick.
It's fine, it's fine. We'll see you guys next time and have a great day. Bye
bye.